Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Olympian Starseeds Initiative. I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. Olympian starseeds are embodied reflections of Olympus's light that have chosen to drink the waters of forgetfulness and enter the dream of mortality to assist in the apotheosis process on Gaia. The Olympian Starseeds Initiative, which I will henceforth refer to as the OSI, is taxed with locating and liberating incarnate Olympians ensnared by the dream and reminding them of their Olympian mission. The OSI, mindful that archetypal Olympian patterns have been programmed into the human psyche, believes in assisting all people on Gaia with actualizing their maximal potential. The OSI supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. And today, we delve very deeply into the metaphysical with Michael and Diane Duncan of the Sixth Revelation, founders of the Worldwide Religion of Love. Greetings and welcome, Michael and Diane. How are you?
Well, hi there, Hercules. Thank you so much for having us. We're so glad to be here. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. And both of you?
Yes, doing very well here. We're in sunny Southern California, but it seems to be a little bit extra sunny the last day or so, and today and tomorrow. In some places it was up to 100 where we are in Southern California, so we're having like a little a record-breaking heat spell. So it's very interesting. But it's very sunny here, so we're just trying to stay cool, you know, with this heat wave. Of course, you know, the body kind of gets used to, you know, the regular temperature throughout the season. And
right.
When there's a spike like this, you know, sometimes it can be a little shocking, but we're doing fine. I had to work today, so I'm here from work. And Diane and I are ready to share everything that we can about the Worldwide Religion of Love, Hercules.
Fantastic. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Greek gods and how they reveal themselves through the sixth revelation and what their work is at time and why they want people to know their identities at this point in time, whereas they were obscured previously, and start basically answering those questions. Now, I was impressed at one particular point in our journey together when both of you, especially Diane, though, started giving me information from Zeus that I was getting in meditation. And this was, you know, very important information, but I shelved it because I meditate twice a day, so I get lots of information. sometimes it's, you know, it's a process to sort through it and prioritize it. But I guess this was very important because I got the same information in many of the same words from Diane and from you, Michael, in our conversations, and then also from a friend I have who belongs to magical lodges. You know, he too had told me that Zeus had a message for me. And as if that wasn't enough, the message started coming synchronistically everywhere for a couple of weeks. So I was not allowed to deprioritize this or not pay attention to it for now. Basically, I don't know if you recall that particular incident, because you've been very generous with the information that you share. It had to do with the role of the Heavenly Father and our perceptions of fatherhood and how the Heavenly Father wanted the same type of relationship that we would ideally like to have with our terrestrial fathers here. And because I live here, I have many of those same issues in my background, and I am a father as well. And So I've seen fatherhood from the other end, you know, where you can do your best and still be perceived in a particular way. So those were very important things for me to consider at the time. And the process is still unfolding as I open myself more and more to Zeus and add that aspect to my being. So I guess we'll start there. You too have had experiences with Zeus for a very long time. And I know you've shared the story before, but since we're focusing on that, before we get to the worldwide religion of love with Aphrodite, let's start with Father Zeus, because here in New York and New Jersey, thunder is rumbling and winds are howling and our internet almost got knocked out a couple of times. So it's quite the opposite of sunny, hot California.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, we just had one person I work with. He's building a home in Arizona, and they were in the high desert, and they had snow, and he comes back to 100-degree weather. It's pretty wild. But anyway, Hercules, well, you know, we feel that Zeus has allowed us to meet you and to meet Nick and our wonderful friends so that we can help in our way spread the word about Zeus, that Zeus is in command. He is the Father. He is here. He's in charge of it all. He's helping us. He's there for us. And I just want to give just the listeners just a tiny bit of background here about our meeting Zeus and our relationship with Zeus. December 19th, 2013, a couple years after we started getting into the Urantia book and the Urantia book community pretty heavily, Diane was upstairs, she was dusting her dresser drawers, and then all of a sudden she had an experience where she was catapulted to the realm of Zeus. She went into Zeus's world and met with Zeus and his consort, Hera. She found out with some exploration a little bit later that Zeus and Hera were none other than the local universe father and the local universe mother, who are featured as the rulers, the co-sovereign rulers of our local universe of 10 million inhabitable planets. That began, that experience really shook her quite a bit and changed her life and changed our lives, because after that, they visited our home one time, looking around and kind of surveying the land, and it was shortly after they came the second time that they said, we want you to start having team meetings with us. We call them celestial team meetings, where Zeus and Hera and many others like Hephaestus, Ares, Aphrodite, Persephone, Hestia, so many of the Greek gods whom are named different things in different cultures throughout different times, they've been coming to us in these celestial team meetings, and they've been telling us that, you know, they want their message spread in our way through us, because I know there are many that they're working with, but in our way, through the sixth revelation, telling the world about them and reminding the world that they're here, they've always been here, and they're really helping us. Along the way, we caught a glimpse of Lord Maitreya's magisterial mission, which began March 20th, 2017. And he is going to, is going to institute new programs to help humanity. And then, of course, later on in our celestial team meetings, about 3 or so years ago, we started finding out about the Worldwide Religion of Love, sponsored and instituted by Gabriel Hephaestus and Lady Mother Venus, or Lady Master Venus, also known as Aphrodite. So here we are, Hercules. We were introduced to Zeus and all of these workers for Zeus and Hera and all of these workers under Zeus that have transformed our lives. Diane can definitely attest to that, and have told us that they are changing the lives of each person on our planet for the better, for a new upcoming Age of Aquarius and Golden Age of Pisces. So that's where we are.
Thank you. That is a phenomenal and very concise yet powerfully stated overview. Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, you bet.
Diane, are you there? Will you be expanding this picture that Michael painted?
Oh, of course. Thank you so much, Hercules, for letting us share this with others. Of course, Michael was telling you about the encounter that I had December the 19th, 2013, and that was upstairs in our Urantia room. We actually made a room for the Urantia studies, and I was just, I was just dusting my room up there, the Urantia room, and when all of a sudden my right eye went absolutely black, dark, and there was a zigzag on my forehead and the top of my head. And then my left eye, I saw the most beautiful, what I thought was an angel, with golden hair down to his shoulders, turquoise eyes, and rays around him that were cream and yellow and gold and just all different colors of yellow and whites and creams. And I asked him, I said, "Well, are you the one that I've been talking to all day?" And he looked at me. And he said, "Yes." He spoke to me, Hercules. He said, "Yes," very clearly. And I only saw his face in this vision, just his face and a little bit of the shoulder and then a little bit of the light. Well, eventually the whole thing was that I was watching him, and then all of a sudden he was back of a table with her, the Queen of Heaven, or Hera. We call her the local universe mother in the Urantia book, and the two of them were there talking with other angels and kind of laughing. I mean, they were talking like ordinary people, and I was watching them. And then all of a sudden, I was standing up, totally, totally awake. It was only like 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just dusting. And then all of a sudden, I was there in the room. So, I mean, it was an extraordinary experience, but I want to go on, though, past that one, because I wanted to say that the one Michael was talking about where Zeus, or the local universe father, came to our home to talk about the team meetings, I had a meditation. This time it was a meditation. The other one was I was completely awake. I was totally, it was an encounter with him. I mean, when I was there in that room, he told me that he wanted me to go over to the windows. I mean, he actually beckoned to me and talked to me. And I got up and I went over there, and he opened up these doors to this beautiful outside. And this actually, this room that he was in Wadsworth Mansion. But anyway, I looked out and he talked to me about the houses that I saw down there and all of different kinds of things. But anyway, to go on, in 2015, I was in a meditation and I saw myself in our swimming pool. And I was on one of those lounges when all of a sudden the father came to the left of me, the left of the pool, with Hera, local universe mother, and also with the infinite mother spirit, who she is the one that I learned about very, very, the very first of these new celestials from the Urantia book. And that's Tethys, and her consort is Oceanus in the Greek, of course. Well, anyway, they talked to me, and they wanted me to bring them into the home. So I got out of the pool in my meditation, and I led them up around the house to the front door and upstairs, and then I showed them the picture of my mother and father, and I showed them the different rooms. But they wanted to go upstairs in the upper large, well, it's a bedroom, but we call it a great room. It's the largest room in the house except for the living room and family room. So I took them up there, and they told us that they wanted us to have team meetings with them. And so that was the second really important part. Now, the other I've had so many with the father, but I think one of the most important ones was March the 5th, 2020. Now, this was before everything had stopped. My husband was still working at his school. He's a teacher, was. And he was working at his church, the Basilica. And everything was going, and my son was at school. But I was ready to go pick up Alex when I went upstairs to comb my hair in the upstairs middle bathroom. And all of a sudden, I was surrounded by bars of white light around me. I heard terrible noises like machinery. And above my head was like a lampshade of sparkling geometric shapes of light that were flashing all around. I was very scared, Hercules. I told you this story, and I was just petrified.
Yeah.
I thought I was having a heart attack or maybe, you know, something happening. I didn't know. Well, I was blessed because after I said, oh, you know, please help me. I don't know what's going on. All of a sudden, the Father appeared right in front of me. Actually appeared right where the bathtub would be. But the bathtub was gone, and everything in the room was dark and shadowy, except for the Father. And there he was again. But I have to tell you, though, this time it was not as personable as the first, because in the first encounter in 2013, I actually touched him. I actually felt his curls on my shoulder. I mean, Oh, yeah, well, Michael says, why don't you tell them the truth? I'm always afraid to tell people, but I actually danced with him in the first encounter at Wadsworth Mansion. He danced with me. Really, this is the truth. And then after we danced, here, I'll go ahead and finish that part then. In the back of the room, there was a door, and in came Gabriel and Aphrodite and my husband and Michael. They came in through the back door of this encounter, and I was fully awake during the whole thing. Well, anyway, they congratulated us. And the reason they did is because Michael and I had finally met. I mean, you know, I was an older woman with grown children, but Michael and I had met. We had married. My first husband had passed away, unfortunately, wonderful man. But we had met. We had married. We were in the Urantia Society. Michael was president of the Urantia, UBLA, Los Angeles. I was on the board. We were on Urantia University. We'd been through the Theosophy with Grace Kanoki. We'd been through Summit Lighthouse with Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and they congratulated us for that. And then I walked around with Michael to the Father, who was still standing in the center of the room right before this happened and after we danced. And he opened up his arms and welcomed us into his chest and put his arms around both of us, just like wings. He didn't have wings, of course. I've never seen wings, but it was just like that. Well, anyway, to go back to this wonderful episode on March 5th, 2020, right after that, my son's school closed, Michael's church closed, his everything. Michael's school closed. It was all over. So the message that the Father gave me, and I was so happy to see him that I realized I wasn't having some type of a stroke or something, he talked to me and told me he wanted me to tell the whole world everything you're doing. And slow down, don't go so fast. See, I had run up the stairs so fast to go see Alex, my son, but he wants us to all slow down. And then the message he wanted everyone to have was, return to God. Well, after that, I asked him, can you please do something about this chamber of light? Because the bars of white light around me, I couldn't move. He touched my shoulder, and then I was free. And I ran downstairs and went to lie down until Michael came home with Alex. So those are some of the experiences, but they're not all. One experience, do you want, oh, no, I guess we just can't take forever, but I just wanted to mention it was one with Hera on her, well, we could call it almost like a TARDIS. She has a spaceship as big as the city of Mission Viejo. And so that's an interesting one,
wow,
too. But Michael says, I can't keep talking right now.
No, that is fine. We're doing fine. We have, I believe, 40 more minutes to go. So we have plenty of time. I would like to learn more about Hera and her spaceship. To a lot of people, this blend of Greek mythology and cosmic spirituality sounds strange. However, it was very prevalent in antiquity, the dissemination of this information. So it isn't really anything new. It's something very ancient that has always been revealed, but now it's being made more public. So even though the configurations and the semblances of the gods may vary from account to account, that was also true in antiquity. So again, what we're seeing here is something very ancient and something that was understood and acknowledged in a bygone age.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes, Hercules, absolutely. And the experiences with Zeus have been just absolutely tremendous. And like I said, from the first two, the encounter that Diane had with Zeus and Hera, and then the second one where they wanted to set up the team meetings, well, we've been doing team meetings since then. And, I mean, hundreds of team meetings. But we only have, you know, we have like about 110, 112 videos on our YouTube channel, which is Michael and Diane Duncan. That's the name of our YouTube channel. We have, we have videos that I've produced of some of our team meetings, celestial team meetings, some with Zeus, some with Hera, you know, with Gabriel and Aphrodite regarding the worldwide religion of love, Lord Maitreya's messages to the world. We have those videos. So you can kind of get an idea of how, you know, we're interacting with them, you know, during these team meetings. But I wanted to really highlight something that you just said, Hercules, about the gods of antiquity. Now, what Diane and I, with the sixth revelation and with the worldwide religion of love, especially the worldwide religion of love, what we would like everyone to know is that we would hope that humanity would return to a practice of having the gods in their everyday lives. I mean, going to church is fantastic. I mean, that's a social place. It's a place to commune with God, to pray to God with others. But the ancients had it right, Hercules. They had an intimate, daily, minutely, secondly relationship with the gods, personal, absolutely personal relationship with the gods, where the gods were, where the people would acknowledge the gods, have them in their lives, pray to them, commune with them, worship them. And it seemed like the gods were a part of their lives too, guiding them in their daily activities, in their worship, in every facet of their life. So we're hoping that everyone will eventually get to the point where they reacquaint themselves with the gods. The Father has said that he's going to be coming to everybody in the spirit, to every single person on earth, on April 13th, 2016. I mean, did I say 2016? Sorry, maybe he did. 2026, I'm sorry. April 13th, 2026. He said he's going to come. He's going to reestablish himself as the Father, as the man, basically.
Thank you. Now, when you talk about team meetings, that might be difficult for people to visualize. What happens exactly in a team meeting? And I know you've recorded these and put them on your YouTube channel, but for those who haven't visited your channel yet, what does that entail, a meeting that you have in your home?
Well, now we had a meeting last night, And I'm hoping that we'll have time for Michael, it looks like we will, to share that meeting that we had last night. We were up in the Arantia room for the meeting, and just to tell people, I have made the room. Now, we have the meetings in all over the house. I mean, a lot of them, especially the ones at Christmas, are in the living room. But this particular meeting last night at 7 o'clock, Michael got home in time, we had quite a few celestials. Michael is going to tell you about this in just a minute then, since you're asking. And what I have done, I'm not really an artist, but I have tried
you
to
are,
draw.
I bet you are an artist.
You're so kind.
For many years now.
I've been trying to draw the pictures of what I have seen. Now, sometimes there are celestials I have never seen. Like Alex Will, my son, will always ask me, well, what about Metatron? And I have never seen him. I have felt his presence when we have had meetings out in the backyard. That's the only time he usually comes, is when we're in the backyard over the years. I don't know why, but I know he's there, and he's always to the left, and he's always he's never with anybody else. But generally, I have been able to see some of them. Now, I'm not saying I have seen every single one. As I said, I've never seen Metatron. But one time we had a team meeting, and Hestia, now, I have to tell the people, originally, we were given names that are not the celestial Greek names. In other words, Hestia was called Corinth. She gave us that name, Corinth. And, Diana was called Della. I know this sounds strange, but they gave us names like that for the first couple years of the team meetings, until then finally they started lifting the veil and saying, you know, Aaron is Apollo. And, you know, so forth. And then we finally started learning all their names. So this meeting last night, we had chairs in the Arantia room and two chairs for Michael and I, and we were facing southeast. That room, the Arantia room, faces that way. And I have the pictures of each god that was going to be present at the meeting in a chair. This helps me to focus and to tune into them. And that really, really helps me so much. If I don't have a picture, I still can feel their presence and sometimes see them. When we had this one meeting, it was a large meeting, one of the very first with all of the gods, and Hestia and Diana gave the meeting. They were the hostesses. And they brought in, they told us it was going to be celestial musicians. And we had about, wasn't it 24, Michael? We had at least 24, and we were trying to fit in 24 chairs upstairs. And we had chairs all into the hallway and all into the Arantia room and even halfway into the bathroom. But I wanted everyone to have a chair. And that was one of the first meetings we found out that every one of these celestials that we talked to, they're also musicians. And Hestia and Diana were at the front of the room. Michael and I were more a little farther away because we had all these chairs crowding in. And she told us that they were coming to us because we were musicians and artists too, and so were they. And now I'll give you an example. Persephone, we know now that she's Persephone, but at the time she was introduced by Della and Hestia, Corinth, as Melody. And she told us that she wanted to come and help Michael with his songs and with his music. And for me, she wanted to help me with my drawing. But she also wanted to tell us that she was an artist of light and music, that when she drew, it was using music and art together. And she said that she wanted to eventually teach Michael how to do that. So here we are. We're in the Arantia room. Michael has the watch, a watch, because usually they give us a time, and they don't want us to be late. And usually we record it. Last night we did not record it, but it was quite a long meeting, about over an hour, a good hour. And here, would you like to hear what the meeting was about? Michael would be happy to tell you.
Yes, of course.
Oh, good. This was from last night. Just a minute.
Yeah, so generally, Hercules, so generally we have these team meetings all over the home, sometimes in the backyard temple, the Lord Maitreya's temple in the backyard. And we'll set ourselves up. Sometimes we'll have flowers. Sometimes we'll use chimes, like our good friend, our mutual good friend, Nick Curto, gave us some chimes to use in our team meetings and things. But we sit down. We prepare ourselves. Diane will, you know, I'll check the time, and sometimes we record it, like she said. And sometimes we video. We have some videos of some of our team meetings. I'll give the time and the date, and then, you know, she'll say they're here. We'll feel their presence. They'll be here. And then we just kind of get a feel for where it's going, because, you know, they have an agenda that they want to express to us. It's not us saying, okay, this is the time we want to talk to you, now talk. No, they give us a meeting date, meeting time. They pretty much open up the meeting, and we nothing's scripted. There's no pre-script. There's nothing prepared. They don't tell anything about what's going to be, you know, the generally what's going to be happening or what they're going to be talking about. So we just kind of go with the flow, and we feel how they want to go. They'll open up to us. Sometimes I'll ask questions to them, and that's the really fun part that I really enjoy, is that I will ask questions, because it's interesting, Hercules, before we had these team meetings, you know, Diane has been tuned into the Celestials all her life. Since she was five, especially, she had a dream. Well, I've been asking her questions ever since I met her in 1991 about everything, you know. And she'll answer, we'll talk, we develop things together, all kinds of interesting, you know, ways of working together to get the truth, because we want the truth.
We don't want anything but the truth.
We just want the truth. We want, you know, in our own perception, how we can perceive their truth, or,
yes,
you know, the universal truth. We want their truth. So I've been asking her questions like gangbusters throughout the years. But with these team meetings, I feel, and we feel, that they're actually there with us, and they're there to take my questions. So Diane will get information. I'll play off of that and ask them further questions, or even just questions that I've been wanting to know for a long, long time. I have them there. Maitreya will give a message. You know, the Father will give a message, or sometimes it's just a dialogue, or sometimes it's just us reflecting upon kind of the inspiration they're giving us. Sometimes they'll give us a blessing. Many times they've had us stand, and they'll give the world a blessing with beautiful angels there in the room and things like that. So it's basically a meeting, a celestial team meeting, where they drive the agenda. We're there. We can ask questions and things like that. But last night, Hercules, was very interesting, because they wanted to talk to us unrecorded about the world, especially the situation in different countries, and our country too. So like Aries was there at the meeting, also known mm-hmm. as Mars in the Roman. Aries spoke to us about how he is working with the situation in Ukraine and Russia. And then he said that he is going to be there, like he's the main celestial that's kind of overseeing and supervising the goings-on with this particular conflict. And he's looking at all, he's seeing all of the civilian action, the military action and everything like that, but one of the wonderful things he said, Hercules, was that he has a group of angels that are there to help the people, you know, that are kind of struggling or that have died or that are suffering, that he has a band of angels there. And he's going to be there for a while. But he's not incarnated, and he has like three Melchizedeks, he says, that are working there that aren't incarnated either. And so Aries was there talking about that, and then we had another speaker that was there, Zeus. Zeus was talking to us about that he is generally happy about how the world is going and how the worldwide religion of love is helping to change people's hearts, you know, for more compassion, more love. So, and Zeus is really happy that the Pope consecrated Russia to the Holy Mother. So Zeus was speaking, and then we also had Hestia. Hestia was speaking about America, and that she is really interested. She and her consort, Archangel Uriel, also known as Hades, how they are helping to open the hearts of the people of America, you know, with the goings on in Ukraine, with people observing what's happening in this particular conflict. And then Persephone and Dionysus, they're working in Europe and Asia to help, you know, humanity to, because Dionysus has got him a Buddha, according to the information we've got. And then, of course, we know that Maitreya is working in the Middle East also. They wanted to let us know that he's still working in the Middle East. So last night was kind of the major group coming together, telling us about how they are assisting and how they are helping to change the hearts and minds of humanity, you know, for a better future for us.
Yeah, that's very reassuring. To a lot of people, it seems they have a less optimistic picture of how things will turn out. And it seems to be that the world is, to use an expression, going to hell in a handbasket. So this is actually a very positive way of looking at the situation. A lot of people would ask, why don't the gods directly intervene?
Yes, we do too, and we did ask if they were. Right now, that they are not intervening particularly. Now, Aries says that in more toward the summer in July, that he will start intervening, and Zeus is not, of course, going to be incarnating or anything at that time, but he said that he's watching it, all of it, our whole planet, and that everyone, all of the gods, will start intervening in some way in July and a little bit later. Now, of course, Hestia and her consort, Uriel, they are here in America, and what they're doing is trying to prepare people for 2026, April 13th, when Zeus, the Christ, the local universe father, will appear to everyone in the whole world. Now, she's just working with the United States, but that's what she's trying to do. She wants to try and prepare us and open our hearts. You know, so many people do not have their hearts open enough to be able to see him. And she wants to try and work on that with Uriel. That's what they're doing. So, you know, this is not a short-term project at all. And they did give us some timetables, of course, the April 13th, 2026, that's the most important one to us, because they're going to try and work in this time to open people's hearts. They are not happy that this has happened. A lot of people would say, well, you know, did the gods let this happen? Well, they did let it happen, but they are using it to open people's hearts, to make them more compassionate when they hear these things, that they will make a choice. This is the time to make your choice, for the good or for the bad, because when Christ comes, he's going to say, sin no more.
And the message that you're giving is consistent with the message that other folks who are attuned to celestials are given. And again, the configurations are very different. The cosmic story is a little bit different sometimes, but the message remains the same. And for folks who are following this, that should be a very important lesson. Basically, again, the gods communicate with us in ways that we accept. And of the true nature of the gods are beings of light, and this is even stated in the mythology. But we cannot comprehend them as they are, the celestials. So they wear guises or semblances or masks, they've been called by Joseph Campbell, in order to communicate with us. And to many, it seems very suspicious, but we all, if we reflect on our lives, have had to frame things so that other people can understand them.
Yes.
So it's not difficult really to understand once you think about it. And and what's different about what you are receiving is you're receiving direct perceptions, you know, whereas other people seek answers through books. And books are important, and you incorporated books into your researches in seeking to better understand what you're experiencing. But again, there are different ways of understanding, and you get the information directly from the source.
Yes, thank you, Hercules. Yeah, we appreciate that. You know, books are very, very important because, you know, books have laid the foundation for us. I mean, you know, the Kabbalion we've read, and we've studied Theosophy, and we've studied the Rosicrucian monographs, and very, very reading about Krishna with, you know, even the Bhaktivedanta Society. And but very important. But you talked about the masking. You know, it's interesting, Hercules, because we did receive some information, though, that's very, very, we feel very, very important, and we'd like to express that regarding
sure.
the team meeting, regarding the team meeting that we had last night. Gabriel, also known as Hephaestus, and Aphrodite, they are bringing forth this new worldwide religion of love. And that's what we're talking about with this new kind of vision, this new kind of path for humanity leading to the age of Aquarius and the age of Pisces, golden age, enlightened life on Earth. Well, they have told us that they are actually, at this time, incarnating in Russia, that they are hanging out, so to speak, at the churches in Russia, where they're actually incarnated, and they are, where the people are gathering at church, they are taking on human bodies, and they are mixing and mingling with the people there in Russia. And what they're doing is they're planting seeds in them. They're planting seeds in their hearts and in their minds to help them open up to this new vision that they want for us. It's a selfless vision. It's a humanitarian. It's an Aquarian age type, you know, where we have, you know, compassion, harmony, understanding, looking out for your brother and sister, opening these Russians up to this this new type of thinking. And I think it's, and I think personally, and from what they're telling us, that Gabriel and Aphrodite, with this worldwide religion of love focus on Russia, and others like Persephone and Dionysus that are also working in Europe, that there's going to be a change in Europe. They're all trying to bring the worldwide religion of love, each of these groups, to humanity. And what the worldwide religion of love is, it's not like a one world religion or one global economy, you know, that we think of, that, you know, some people are a little afraid of. What it is it's a worldwide effort of the celestials to appeal to each person. It's a personal religion. The Urantia book says we each have a personal relationship with the gods, with the Elohim. The approach is not, like groupthink or appealing to a group or a group buying into a doctrine. It's them appealing in a new way to each person on earth. That's why the Father is going to come to each person. It's an individual approach that they're giving. They're opening hearts, they're opening minds to more divine truth, and Maitreya included, are giving each person a new vision, this new way that, you know, our friend Gerald T. Farley talks about, with moving from a third dimensional state of mind and functioning to that fifth dimensional, which will lead us to this new golden age. And these problems, quote-unquote problems, like the pandemic, and like with the Russia-Ukraine, with a lot of the things going on in governments and corruptions and things in China, all this thing that people are talking about, they're stirring up the pot, so to speak. And like Diane said, they're forcing people to make changes choices. Yeah, making the choices to make the changes to go into this new way. So the watchwords for the first phase of the worldwide religion, Hercules, were return to God. Stop, slow down, return to God. This phase that we're in right now is an effort to open up the heart to compassion. The watchwords for this phase are do no harm. And then when the Father comes, he says, sin no more.
That's a powerful message, and you're doing your best to communicate it and share it with the world.
Oh, well, thank you, Hercules, thank you. You were asking about how we kind of interact with the gods. There have been so many different ways. Now, I can't say, actually, I know Michael was kind of saying that they are there all the time. They're not always there all the time. There are some times that they say, well, I'm talking to you, but I'm really on another planet. And right at this time, like one time, Hercules, I had made a mistake. I don't know what, it wasn't that bad, but I had made a mistake. I had sent a letter about something. You know, I get a little bit excited about the truth.
Yeah.
And I sent a letter about the truth to someone one time. And I was outside. I have a bench right outside the front door, and I was sitting out there. And I was talking to the Infinite Mother Spirit, who is Tethys. Tethys and Oceanus are the Infinite Mother and Father Spirit in the Urantia book. I was talking to her, and she was not happy with what I had done with this letter. Well, anyway, just as we were talking, I felt someone coming by in front of us, and I could hear like rustling skirts or something, and the door I had left a little bit open, but it opened and someone went in the house, and the Infinite Mother said, it is, it's Hera, it's the local universe Mother Spirit, and you're in trouble. And so she said, go upstairs, she's waiting for you. And so I went and grabbed some paper and a pencil, and I went upstairs, and of course nobody was there in the great room. That's where we usually have the meeting. But we have a big patio outside it that's about, 200 or 300 square feet outside, up above the garage. And so she was out there. So I went outside, and I took my paper and pencil, and I sat down on my lounge chair to talk to her. Well, at this time, I have never seen her with a veil over her head. You know, you always see Mary, you know, in all the pictures and in the churches and the statues, you know, and she has the veil over her head. Well, I'm not saying that Hera is Mary, but I have never seen Hera with a veil, never. Just with her beautiful golden hair. Well, this time she had a veil over her hair, and it was not a good sign.
Well, you've just again given me what you're relating to. The incident has to do with a story that's of significance to me that I haven't shared.
Well, how exciting! So
thank you.
Sure. Well, we will hear it. Just one second, and I'll be through here. Well, anyway, I sat down.
Not today, but I will share it.
All right. Okay. Well, I was there sitting, and I talked to her, but the thing was, she had the veil, and I knew I was in trouble. But the situation was this, though. She was only 10 inches tall. And she told me, she said, I am here, and I came through the door, and I came up, but that was not, I don't know how it could be, but that was a part of her, but she really was somewhere else. And this figure that came up and then was now in front of me was like a hologram, I think. That's what I think. Because she was not really there, but she said, I am really here. So I don't know how she can be in two places but at once, but that was what happened. But anyway, I did get a sound scolding, and that's the only time I ever have from her, ever. She's the sweetest thing in the world, but I did at that time. And so I always tell people, beware if you see her with a veil on her head, I tell you that. So I just want to say that there are times I do see them very clearly, like when Hestia and Diana gave us that musician wonderful time, team meeting. I could see Hestia and Della very clearly, very clearly. Diana had blonde hair with kind of kinky all the way down, long, but kind of like, you know, in the olden days when they would use an iron to make it kinky, you know. And, of course, Hestia, Corinth was her name. Yes, we only have a few minutes. I know Michael's pointing that out. She was just beautiful, brunette with blue eyes, and just lovely, Hestia. But I could see them very clearly. But then some I don't see very clearly, and sometimes it's only a flash. Now, Aaron, who is really Apollo, at that particular meeting, he had on a red gown, and he had blonde hair at that time. But, you know, it just sometimes they appear differently. Sometimes Maitreya is in his Hispanic body. Sometimes he's in his Middle Eastern body. The first time I saw him, Hera brought him in, and he sat on her left, and she sat on the other side, and he was in, like, fatigues or something like that, and he was very casual, just had his legs crossed and down, you know, I mean, just like he was at home, very at home, and he wasn't proper at all. But then I've seen Maitreya in his personal body, which is more of light, just light, and he's entirely different. So, you know, it's different sometimes, and I don't mean to tell you that it's the same all the time. I don't want people to think that they look the same all the time exactly. They're dressed differently. One time the Infinite Father appeared to us like a gentleman in a leisure suit, you know, and with a short American-style haircut and everything, and then other times then he'll be in a more personal body with more the long hair and the robes. Usually in the team meetings they wear robes, I will say that. Mm-hmm. They really do, and beautiful colors sometimes, but, well...
So I guess Hercules... I guess our experiences with Zeus and Hera and Gabriel, Aphrodite, with Lord Maitreya and the Melchizedeks and the celestial musicians have really, and Apollo, of course, have really broadened our horizons. And we really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to express what we're getting from them and kind of describe the wonderful relationship that we have with them. And we wish that everybody would tune into them and welcome them, talk to them, and have a wonderful relationship with them. Just really quickly, Hercules, our Urantia room is also called the Temple of Tomorrow. I'm sorry, Chapel of Tomorrow. It's dedicated to the local universe father, local universe mother, to Hephaestus and Aphrodite. In the mornings, we put our arms up to Apollo. We welcome his strength and energy, and we pray three times. We do that twice a day. And then we pray morning, noon, and night, thanking the father, Zeus, for our precious life, and thanking the mother, Hera, for all the blessings she gives us. So we have a wonderful relationship with them, and we wish everyone would have that also, definitely.
Thank you very much again, and I'll ask one more question, and then our time should be up. You had mentioned the Elohim on how you're approaching with the gods through that particular avenue. Why the as the Elohim?
The Elohim, from my understanding, is just the male and female God. In other words, in so many religions, they think of God as just male. But Elohim, it really means both. It's not just Zeus, it's Hera. It's the male and female. That is my understanding of what Elohim really is. Now, if you're talking about the 144,000 that came with Sanat Kumara, who is Gabriel, from the planet Venus to the Earth to save the Earth, in a way, all of those angels, they're not fallen angels. It just means they have come down to the material plane. But they are male and female, the gods. It's Hestia and Uriel. It's, you know, it's the infinite mother spirit and the infinite father spirit. But the word Elohim to me means both. It's like Yahweh. You know, there's a masculine in that word and a feminine in that word. You know, it's that's what it means to me. The Elohim.
Understood. I just reactivated our Elohim group on Facebook. So, again, it's nice synchronicity to hear the expression verbalized on the show. We have 2 minutes left. Can you kindly share your contact information again so that people can explore the truth that you're sharing?
Well, thank you, Hercules. Again, thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. We have our YouTube channel, which I mentioned earlier in the broadcast. It's Michael and, the word and, Diane, D-I-A-N-N-E, and it's Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Michael and Diane Duncan is our YouTube channel. We have our team meetings. We have celestial team meetings. We have Lord Maitreya's messages. We have Worldwide Religion of Love messages. We have artwork. We have our songs on there. But as far as our five albums, our song albums, those are found under Reverend Michael Duncan at Spotify, at Amazon Music, at iTunes, and other streaming and downloading platforms. If you'd like to give us an email, it's michaelduncan1@hotmail.com.
Again, thank you so very much. I wish you success in all your endeavors. And thank you for sharing your spiritual adventure with all of us through very many different avenues, ranging from words to music to writing to videos. So again, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Hercules, for letting us have this wonderful opportunity. Thank you, and God bless you, Hercules, and your family. And you, may you have a blessed Easter.
The same to you, Michael and Diane. And thanks to everybody who tuned in tonight. The blessings extend to you as well. whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called and are waiting patiently in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and many, many, many Olympian blessings. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
Right. God bless.
The world.
Thank you. God bless you, too.